First, let me say it's a great joy to be back with all of you, see your loving faces, and to worship with you once again. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. This week, the Holy Epistle really spoke to me, and so my homily is going to focus on the epistle rather than the gospel. The gospel is very important, and because this is the forerunner, right, of the good news. So the whole reason this epistle was written. So I encourage you to go home and meditate on that. So that's a good thing to do too. The Apostle Paul talks about knowing the time. Time, mostly spoken of in the scripture, has to do with God's timing. For example, the time of the great judgment, when the Lord shall come back and all the earth shall be judged. The time of the work of the God-man. So the time that he came, he was born, and you know his mother's like, oh, look, we're at Cana, we're at this wedding, do this work. And he's like, my time has not come yet, right? His time. The time of the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is his time now and later. But here, the knowing the time to be awakened is part God's time and part our time. Just as the Virgin Mary had to submit her will freely to God when the Archangel Gabriel heralded God's timing of salvation, so we too are called to join our will with his will for our salvation and for the world's. Knowing the time is knowing our entire life is meant to be lived in cooperation with the Holy Spirit to do the will of the Father. This is the Christian life. This is Christian love. The Apostle says, "For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. It is an hour to be awakened out of sleep." St. John Chrysostom says, "This statement is meant for those of us who have fallen asleep to the truth of the gospel and the life in Christ and need to awake." He says, "Near is the resurrection, near is the awful judgment, and the day that burneth as a furnace." Near. So, that second coming, we don't know, like a thief in the night, right? And so it draws closer every time, and it's nearer to that time. So we are to always be in remembrance of that, to arouse ourselves from the sleep of the world. I'd like to point out the language being used by these two saints, we and our. We must always remember that salvation does not exist in a vacuum of individuality, but rather in a collective singular. When we confess the creed, we say, "I believe," which pronounces the will of our person and the singular will of us as one body in Christ. Just as the persons of the Holy Trinity are a singular hypostasis, persons, as each of us are a singular hypostasis, person, they are in truth a single God, as we are to be in truth a single body, the Church, local and universal. Thus, it is out of love for God and neighbor that we must awaken from the customs and norms of our society and world that a time of salvation. To know true love, to know true freedom of spirit, to know the true life, to know how to fully live as models of our age, is to will to do the will of the Father in faith and love. This is our high calling. This is why we are the crown of God's creation. St. Paul warns and exhorts us, "The night has advanced and the day hath drawn near. Let us therefore put away from ourselves the work of darkness. Let us put on the weapons of light. Let us walk becoming as in the day. Here again is the language of the collective singular. Let us. Together we are to live as if the day of final resurrection has occurred in mutual love and understanding, selflessly. The night of selfishness, individuality, greed, hatred, delusion, etc., has advanced, but we as a community are to be the light from the day, so those caught in the night might be freed. If you ever wanted to be a superhero, here's the true and sure path of that reality. We are to put away from ourselves the work of darkness. That is, the will of our singular hypostasis joins the will of our collective singular, to put away from ourselves the work of darkness. Brothers and sisters, we have not embodied this collective singular yet. We still have much work to do, but thanks be to God, He has given us each other to do it. In the famous marriage epistle, 1 Corinthians 13, St. Paul speaks of the mystery of marriage as to the mystery of the church. In essence, love conquers everything. Every wrong, every ill manner, ill word, every wrong action, love conquers because it is patient, gentle, kind, etc. In the marriage to spouses, in the church to Christ, the honeymoon ends, and the work must begin and continue until the day of glory. We may not be a collective singular yet, but in love we patiently keep working toward that reality with hope and faith, because love covers all. Just as in marriage, we also need to put away revilings and drunkenness, not in unlawful acts of intercourse and licentiousness, and not in strife and jealousy. This is our age. Darkness, the night. Our age glorifies strife and pride. It glorifies and identifies its identity with sexuality, the farthest thing from the embodiment of love. And the apostle says, and cease taking forethought for the flesh in regard to the lust thereof. So how do we do this? He says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. As many of you have been baptized in Christ, so put on Christ. We are familiar with this hymn, especially during the season of Pascha. Put on Christ. In other parts of the scriptures, it says to have the mind of Christ, have Christ dwelling within you. So as you see, the apostles and the scriptures are telling us every bit of our being is to be of Christ. Brothers and sisters, let us collectively put on Christ, renew the hope of our marriage to the bridegroom, and work with faith in His love and the time He has given us. To God be the glory. Amen.